I remember my days way back in my first year at IHM Seminary, as we were with a bunch of young guys and half of us undisciplined, and we were neglecting our chores in the seminary a little bit. I remember this was upsetting the rector at the time, and so he called a community meeting, and so we all had to get together, and he started going through the list of the things that weren't getting done around the seminary that should be. And he said that to encourage you a little bit to be more faithful to your duties, he quoted the reading from St. Paul today, if you are not going to work, you will not eat. And we all gasped, we're not going to eat. But brought back that memory for me today, because God really wants us to be about his business. In the gospel today, we see Jesus forecast the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which actually happened in AD 70. And this seems to arouse the disciples' interest about what else will happen in the end times. And Jesus goes on to tell them that, well, there will be wars and natural disasters that will take place that on such a level that the world has yet to experience. But the good news is God will protect his own. But after all of this takes place, God will come again to judge the living and the dead. You know, the teachings about the end times are nothing new. We find them in the Gospels. We find them in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. They've always been a part of the Scriptures and always been a part of our faith. You know, I remember way back in my first assignment in the cathedral in Winona, I also was assigned the Newman Center, the little Catholic house on campus at Winona State University. We had a nice group of students that would come, and we'd always begin the year with a little scripture study. And I would always ask them, what do you want to study? Let's maybe start with one of the Gospels, or maybe go back to the Old Testament and study the Psalms or Genesis, the beginnings of our faith. And they would always say, no, we want to study the book of Revelation. And I would say, okay, I know that's an interesting book about the end times, but let's start with something more friendly and peaceful and we can get to that. No, we want to start there. And so we would. We would begin by studying these end time passages. And at first, of course, with those students, it was mostly out of curiosity. But once we began to read what God's word and began to discuss these future events and think about them, I noticed that the students would somewhat get a little bit uncomfortable, even afraid. I could tell in their minds they were asking themselves, oh my gosh, what if this happens in my lifetime? You know, Jesus tells us that these events will someday occur, but we don't know when. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. They could happen in our lifetime, or they could happen many, many years from now. We don't know, but sometimes it may seem like they're unfolding. But the important thing to remember is that the Lord tells us all over the Scriptures that, remember, if you're for me, if you're going about doing what I've asked you to do, then my love will protect you, and you don't have to be afraid. You know, I think it's good that we meditate on these passages like the church asks us to do as the season of ordinary time kind of winds down to a close like we're doing today. Because these end time readings, when we hear them, really have the potential to wake us up. Kind of like when you get into the shower and it's cold water, you know, it kind of snaps you awake. If we've fallen into a state of lukewarmness perhaps during the year and the practice of our faith, they should call us to reflect on the fact that the Christian really always has to be spiritually prepared for the return of the Lord or our own death, whatever comes first. But sometimes, as we know, as human beings, we can get stuck in our lives where everything is quite comfortable and we don't let ourselves think of these realities because they make us feel uncomfortable or afraid. In fact, the only time we may think about them is when maybe we have to go to a funeral for a loved one. You know, you would think that when the apostles got the answer to the questions that they were asking the Lord today about these events, they would have been terrified. But the Scriptures tell us that they were not. Thinking about these things produced instead hope concerning their salvation. They didn't let it turn into anxiety or fear. They channeled it into hope. They could not wait for the Lord to come back again to conquer all the world's evils, even death. They could not wait for the Lord, for whom they love so dearly, to return to take them home. Every day they longed for these events to come because they were signs to them that the Lord's return would be very near. In fact, some were so excited, we know from the early martyrs of our faith, that they even gave their own lives under persecution in witness to their faith. And so today, let us not let our faith weaken and turn into fear, but let us turn it into hope. That's exactly what the early Christians did and all the saints after them. But in order to do that, we need a strong faith. And in order to have a strong faith, we need a strong prayer life, and we need the Eucharist. This is the way a Christian stays prepared for whatever may come. And if we are truly prepared, there is no need to fear anything. Our faith tells us that Christ will always be there for us to protect us and guide us if we but stay consistent and close to him in prayer and through his church, which has always been a refuge in times of uncertainty and distress. And so we pray today that our loving God would help us to keep these future events in mind, but that we may also remember to trust in his constant care and protection for us and all his beloved children.